Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We are an hour away from Lions head coach Dan Campbell. Get the latest from him, 7:35, Heather's Lions fiasco. We got the two Grand Slam at 7:25. Our question right now, are you losing faith in Sherrone Moore as the head coach? And I'll start. I liked the decision to promote him. You wanted to continue the momentum of Michigan's national title. The identity as a physical running football team. He's a former offensive line guy. A reputation as a good recruiter. These are things worth taking a shot on.
And a good play caller.
Yes, when he was calling plays. Mm-hmm. That is not the case this season. Am I losing faith? Yes. I mean, I don't like seeing 30 seconds get bled off the clock absentmindedly asleep at the wheel at the end of the game. I don't understand fourth and threes kicking 3 yards from the end zone, a field goal, or running a third and long only to take a delay of game and punting the ball. These feel like coaching blunders. And as far as play calling goes, he is not making the decision to strip Kirk Campbell of play calling. Therefore, he is endorsing Kirk Campbell as the play caller every week. That is an issue that I would have as a Michigan fan. And we are getting ticket texts. People are unhappy naturally with a 5-5 football team, but it's not like he's squeezing every single ounce of talent out of this roster. In many ways, they've underachieved. In many ways, they blew a chance to beat Indiana this week. They were in that football game and they did not coach it well.
And if you're going to make a change at quarterback, which they've done four times, if you're going to make a change in personnel up front, some of it due to injury, but others due to performance, if you're going to make a change at other positions, then why not consider taking over play calling?
We've asked him. I've asked him about it. You've asked him. We've asked him about that, and he is saying it's a collective effort. He's kind of deflecting to the team. He doesn't want to single out anybody. But then you all get lumped in, is what I'm just going to default to. Then fine. And you are endorsing this product, this offense, this coaching staff, and this play calling.
But the question I go back to is, if you're going to hold players to a certain standard of performance, then why not do that for your staff as well?
And I do think, I don't think he should be fired right now. I know we're going to get some of that in the ticket text. I think this is an incredibly pivotal offseason for Michigan football and for Sherrone Moore, because you aren't Jim Harbaugh. You need to put your own stamp on the program. You will have a chance to get in line at the buffet before everybody else. You're not going to be in the playoff and have some long season. You need to hit the portal. You need to revamp your staff. You need to put your stamp on the program, and it has to look a hell of a lot better next season.
Well, and this is where Sherrone Moore, you could call it, you need to be cutthroat. It's just called being a leader. You've got to make tough decisions, and you can't worry about feelings. If you're going to make a decision about bringing in a transfer portal quarterback or offensive lineman or defensive lineman, because you're losing a lot of talent to the draft or to graduation up there as well, like, you're going to have to bring in an influx of talent. There's no question about that. And if you're not worried about players' feelings in that, which you shouldn't, that it's the same thing with your staff. Like, you can't be loyal to a fault.
Right.
Loyalty is and should always be a part of the decision, but the loyalty is ultimately to the team, to the school, to the brand, like, and to yourself. Like, if you don't make those changes, instead of somebody else being out of job, everyone will be out of job.
Some ticket texts coming in. This one says, Michigan calls plays like they have last year's personnel. They obviously don't. This O-line is not moving people. Yeah, we're to the point now where you're deep enough into the season. The O-line has not developed enough. Neither back got going against Indiana. And when neither back is breaking off big runs, John,
it's a problem.
I'm looking at up front going, are you guys doing enough?
Of all of our techs, I agree with that one the most today. I really believe that. He's coaching last year's team, he thinks, to a degree. I mean, you can almost make the case that without all the other quarterback shuffling, that orgies being used like JJ was a couple years ago. You know, the orgy thing is a joke. The fact that he came in on that opening series on second down, completely derailed that drive, which then led to 3 points instead of you getting seven, which then would have factored in later into the game when maybe you just needed a Zavada field goal to actually win the game. And I also think, too, when he came back in the first half and he fumbled, you know, what are you doing? This doesn't work, but he keeps trying to do it.
Ticket Texter says, Sharon doesn't have a clue. He's in over his head and he's drowning, taking the program down with him. Texter says he needs to be fired. Sadly, they won't until the NCAA stuff is over. Drew in Woodhaven. Another one says, you think Sharon can think two plays ahead? It took him 30 seconds to realize he needed timeouts taken at the end of the game. Let's temper our expectations. And this one says, is Michigan still going to win the national championship? No. It says, like John predicted, you had them in the title game.
Yeah,
You've taken your lumps for that.
I've taken my lumps, yes.
Yeah, I'm not going to pile on there. Texter says, why doesn't Cookies bring the same energy when he talks about the Spartans? Well, there's two different standards. I mean, let's just acknowledge the elephant in the room. One's coming off a national title with playoff expectations every time they put those winged helmets on. Michigan State's coming from the ashes.
Yeah.
I mean, do you want me to rake Jonathan Smith over the coals too? I'm not seeing this level of mismanagement in the games.
No, it's, I mean, we could go back to the head-to-head matchup. Yeah. And talk about...
And Sharon outcoached him. I said that at the time.
Right. But you, again, it's two different expectations this year for these teams. And when those expectations are what they are, and call it unfair, call it whatever you want, it doesn't matter. There's nothing... Fair doesn't play into any of this.
How about this ticket text? Because we're not getting a lot of support for Sharon, but this one is interesting, John. Sharon reminds me of Dan Campbell's first year with clock management issues, play calling issues with Anthony Lynn. Needs to step up and remove coordinators who aren't working, signed an assistant JV youth football coach from the sideline.
Well, so I could see the comparisons. The difference is halfway through that season, Anthony Lynn was no longer calling plays.
Well, that's what this person's saying is if you're not willing to make those changes, you won't eventually have a Dan Campbell-like impact on your football team.
Or you know, trajectory.
Yeah. Ticket Texter says, I think Michigan's biggest mistake is they didn't adapt to the talent in the room. Orgy's the best athlete they have, but he is not a pro. And then it cuts off. Sorry. They're not using Orgy properly. Did you agree with that?
They're using him like they did last year now. You know, I know there was a couple of games where they did make him the starter, but it was clear. You know, he wasn't going to be the thrower that they hoped he was going to develop into. The problem I have is that every time Alex Orji is in the game, I really believe if Teddy could speak full sentences and words, he would say, Michigan's going to run the ball. Like, that to me is the most obvious thing. And it just, when that happens and you become that predictable, if you don't have the offensive line like they had the last couple of years, when you become predictable, you lose any slight advantage you may have had.
Texter says, I love Moore in the direction he's taking Michigan football, signed a Michigan State fan. As an MSU fan, I would take Moore over the clown we have running our program. At least Moore can recruit.
Well, this is where, and you mentioned it, there's a very pivotal offseason. I don't think Sharon is going to be relieved of duty.
No.
I don't think anybody, you know, you may want him to, but it's not going to happen. This is a very pivotal offseason. And if we've learned anything about, you know, this year's Greg Palm or the rankings, that you can turn around your program in an instant.
Yeah, I mean, who are some of the teams sitting in the mix atop the sport right now? It's Indiana, 10-0. It's BYU undefeated. It's SMU undefeated in ACC play to this point of the season, right?
It's a Vanderbilt team that has been ranked. They've got a transfer quarterback. Like, you have the ability to completely reshape your roster.
And I would even point out the heavy hitters in the college football playoff tonight. You will see number one Oregon, number two Ohio State. Both teams were not shy about using the transfer portal. Both brought in a veteran quarterback among other studs on their roster. I mean, Ohio State's roster is a $20 million deal. And Oregon, Phil Knight's not shy either. They went out and pulled receivers from the SEC and gave them a bag. Like, whether you're the little guy getting a step up or the big guy that's reinforcing their roster with the portal, you're right. College football now more than ever is set up for a team to turn around one year to the next.
It seems like they're getting a little dirtier than Michigan typically does by trying to flip Underwood.
It'd be like a big deal.
This is going to be a big deal if they flip him. He committed to LSU.
Did you see who's coaching him now?
Yes. Connor Stallions is on the coaching staff of Belleville now. it made me wonder a little bit about, is there something else going on there? But that's a lot of speculation. You took me off track, what I want to say. All this can... The recruiting class is allegedly good that's coming in.
Yeah.
And it will be border great if they get Underwood. Now, that's recruiting, and we've seen this 1,000 times. Doesn't mean you're going to be good. That doesn't take away the way you manage the game at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, using timeouts, clock management, sure.
You're going to do... If you don't change that and fix that, or clearly see you really screwed that up...
You'll waste more talented teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point. All right, we have the 2 Grand Slam coming up. We have Dan Campbell at 8:02. We got Heather's News. So much more. It's 97.1.
Hey, the NBA is back, and FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, wants you to catch all the action. Right now, FanDuel is giving everyone 3 months of NBA League Pass. That's everyone gets 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do to catch every tip-off or buzzer beater is place any $5 bet on the NBA to get 3 months of NBA League Pass, courtesy of FanDuel. So, hey, you don't want to miss anything of Wemby's. He had a great game yesterday. Second season, you can watch it. Ja Morant, I know he's out a little bit right now, but he's back flying around. Maybe it's LeBron and Bronny. You don't want to miss any of that. All you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/Janton to sign up and make every moment more this NBA season. FanDuel is the official sportsbook partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. After 3 month trial, the full price of League Pass will automatically be charged monthly. Cancel anytime. No refunds, terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, before the 2 Grand Slam, Heather, what's going on in the news?
Okay, so after Sunday's win in Houston, Detroit's own G-Mac Cash dropped a brand new song called We Run the North.
It's great. It doesn't miss.
Always. He's been showing his support for the Detroit teams through his music, because he's written a Lions song before called Lions Won Again.
Yep.
He wrote one for the Tigers. Tigers Won Again. But, you know, I'm always going to love him for his Giants, like the originals.
The
you
Giants
know?
Line's amazing. I smile every time I hear it.
It's good. It's fun. I like it. Good for him. Keep going. I want more. Let's talk about Connor Stallions a little bit here. So he is now coaching the top recruit in the country and Michigan's primary quarterback target, Bryce Underwood. So Stallions is now a coach at Belleville High School. He had spent the regular season as the head coach at Mumford High School in Detroit, but he has since joined Belleville as a play caller for the playoffs, okay? And he says that he took the job to help Belleville win football games, not to try to recruit Underwood to Michigan.
Just so happens to be a benefit to doing so. Very interesting. He's calling the plays. He'll be the one telling Bryce what play to run,
right.
I'm sure. And by the way, it would be allowed for him to encourage Bryce to play collegiately wherever he wants.
I mean, he has... committed to LSU?
Yes.
Verbally? Or I don't know how. How do you commit?
Verbally. No, nothing
so
signed yet.
Nothing set in stone, right? But that sounds like that's where he's planning on heading. But it sounds like Michigan is very interested.
So, yeah, the reports are Michigan is pursuing Bryce.
Yes.
There were reports about trying to get the money together, because that's college football now. And now if I'm Sharon Moore, I'm allowed to reach out to high school coaches and talk about recruits. Does he call up Connor?
Yes.
Of course he would, right?
Yes,
and it
he
would
does.
All be allowed under NCAA rules, but it's clearly them kind of thumbing their nose at the NCAA at the same time.
Yeah, it's very interesting. A line of thunderstorms moved across Metro Detroit on Sunday and brought a short-lived, very rare November tornado to Oakland County. The National Weather Service confirmed an EF0 tornado struck Holly. This was right around 7 p.m. on Sunday night. It was very, very short. Over the course of 2 miles, the tornado traveled about 2 minutes, traveled about a mile. Mm-hmm. Winds reaching 70 miles per hour, started in this like wooded marshland area and then traveled into Holly. It damaged roofs of several buildings, knocked down trees, down power lines, but no injuries were reported.
Good.
Yes. Mattel. You know, the big toy maker
is
apologizing after they accidentally listed a porn website on the packaging for their new Wicked dolls.
How does that happen?
Well, let me tell you, I mean, I guess I can kind of understand a little bit, but they didn't proofread, right? So, yeah, on the back of their doll's packaging, Mattel put a URL to the website Wicked.com, which, okay, hearing that, thinks, okay, it probably is related to the movie Wicked, right? Except it wasn't. It is a porn site. The correct website is wickedmovie.com.
Oh, boy.
Of course, parents are outraged, right?
Sure. Yeah, introducing a new generation to porn.
Yeah, exactly. So Mattel said, sorry, we deeply regret this unfortunate error and are taking immediate action to remedy this. They're pulling the dolls from the shelves. They're saying, hey, if you've already purchased one, you can discard the packaging, right? Take the doll out, throw that away, or you could, you know, use a Sharpie and just kind of... Now, it's not something I think every parent, every child is even going to see.
Right.
It's very small on the back. And it's like, if you want to order more toys, you can go to...
Sure.
Wicked.com.
What kind of toys? Just not the toys you were...
Yeah, exactly.
These are not the toys you're looking for.
Yikes. Whoop. Finally, this might come as a shock because it did to me. Danny DeVito. We all know Danny DeVito, right? We love Danny DeVito. But did you know he is one of the top 10 sexiest bald men in the world? All according to a scientific study.
Sounds scientific.
Oh, yeah. So there's this marketing agency and they use like a big list of criteria like smile analysis and shine factor on the head.
Shine factor.
Vocal attractiveness, media perception, and they created their top 10 most attractive bald men in the world. Prince William came in at number one. Now, he is not fully bald. Is he fully bald or does he have got a little... Who knows?
Danny DeVito's not fully bald.
No, yeah. But I meant like, I feel like Prince William has like... He still has a little... He doesn't have a comb over, but I feel like there's sprinkling of like a little bit of hair.
Oh, okay.
Maybe not. Yeah. Anyway.
Like Doug.
Yeah, like Doug. Doug's not fully bald. But
I haven't seen Doug's head in a long time.
Always wearing the hat.
Well, he comes in all the time.
I know, but he always wears a hat.
He does.
He always wears a hat.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time I've seen him without. Anyway, Prince William, number one. The Rock, number two. Shaq. Surfer, Kelly Slater, Terry Crews, all at number five. Then, number six, Danny DeVito.
One is not like the other.
No, it's not.
I don't get it. Okay.
Samuel L. Jackson, number seven. A French soccer coach. Thierry Henry, number eight. Stanley Tucci and Vin Diesel.
So,
science.
Danny DeVito
science.
Is ahead of Vin Diesel.
And yes. Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes.
Much like how Louisville is ahead of Georgia and Tennessee and Greg Palm.
Right, yes.
You don't understand it, but it's math.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's why I don't do math.
It's science.
Yes.
All right, Heather with the news. Two Grand Slam time.
Hey, I'm pumped to give away some money today. Let's do this, you guys. The rules are simple. 60 seconds, 10 questions, $25 for each question answered correctly. $2,000 if they can get all 10 correct.
Kathy in Pleasant Ridge, good morning.
Yes!
Good morning.
Good morning.
Kathy!
How are you?
Awesome!
Yeah.
Yes! I'm so excited.
Heather, not as excited as I am.
All right.
Let's do this, Kathy. All right. I'm guessing you know the rules.
I was the first woman to ever play the two Grand Slam, and Sony gave me a bunch of shit trying to tell me, you know. Sorry, my language.
Sorry. Wait.
Okay. Sony gave me a bunch of crap trying to tell me that the bar was different for women. So I'm ready to prove Sony wrong.
Kathy, I'm excited to have you back. You are the original female contestant.
Okay, all right, yeah.
That's OG.
All right, let's do this. So your time is going to start as soon as I start reading. If you don't know one, you can pass. Here we go, Kathy. Who did the Detroit Lions play this coming Sunday?
Jacksonville.
What federal holiday was yesterday?
Veterans Day.
Who is the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys?
McCarthy.
This female artist had the 1996 hit Ironic.
Alanis Morissette.
This team currently has the most wins in the NBA.
Pass.
Who currently leads the Detroit Lions in tackles?
McNeil.
Stephen Vogt is the manager of this MLB team.
Pass.
He played Colonel Nathan Jessup in A Few Good Men.
Tom Cruise.
What is the state capital of Kansas?
Topeka.
Who won World Series MVP last month?
Jeter.
This team currently has the most wins in the NBA.
The Heat.
Stephen Vogt is the manager of this MLB team.
We got you with five.
Five, Kathy? Yes. That's great.
Well done. Well done.
Yes. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. $125.
A lot more than I had this morning.
There you go.
That's for sure.
Yes.
We'll put you on hold. We'll make sure you get you paid. Get you paid, and we'll go through this.
Uh-huh.
Redemption for her? How did she do the first time?
I don't know
time?
How she did the first time.
I don't
you know the story,
either.
Though, right?
I know this. I've heard the story.
Yes. Oh, the Stoney.
She calls in. It's Kathy. Oh, never mind. She's not going to do very well.
No, Finds out it was a woman and lowers the bar.
Right, yeah. We used to set the bar, and I think I wasn't here.
He's like, eight. And then he's like, oh, this is Kathy. I'm going to lower it to six.
Well, she only got five this time.
I don't know what she got the first time, but five is good.
So let's quickly go through this.
That's amazing.
The Lions play the Jaguars. It was Veterans Day yesterday.
Oh, she started off on a heater.
Mike McCarthy and Alanis Morissette. She was 4-for-4,
yes.
Feeling good.
Here we go.
The Cavaliers have the most wins. Two guesses, pass and heat. Okay, yep. Next one. Who leads the Lions in tackles?
A defensive tackle, but not Natalie McNeil. It's Jack Campbell.
Stephen Vogt is the manager of?
The Cleveland Guardians.
Nathan Jessup and A Few Good Men. John, is it painful to hear her say Tom Cruise?
I felt like this was going to be in her wheelhouse after she answered those first four. She got Alanis Morissette. Mm-hmm. We're talking about kind of the same time frame. I thought... But at least she had somebody that was in the movie.
Jack Nicholson was the answer we're looking for. Yeah. Capital of Kansas is?
Topeka. She nailed it.
And Derek Jeter did not win the World Series MVP.
No, he's been retired for some time.
Freddie, she knew that too. I mean, she kind of chuckled a little bit, but yeah.
It's Freddie Freeman. Mm-hmm. Two Grand Slam brought to you by Femininio Law. Your next chance to win is Thursday this week. It's 97.1. That's how it went in the Heather household.
Exactly.
Abruptly cut off.
You guys are looking at me all confused.
Wait. Oh, is that touchdown? Oh.
Is that not what happened in your house on Sunday night?
It sounds very, very familiar. So, yeah, we had a little bit of a catastrophe while we were watching the game. We had a neighbor over watching it down in the theater, right? So, which is where it's best to watch a game.
Oh, in the theater. Look at you.
That's what we call
bougie.
It. But it's like a big screen of the projector. Yeah. We got the surround sound, right? It's more fun to watch a game down there than it is just sitting in your living room.
Well, better in the theater than your bowling alley.
Exactly. Well, the bowling alley, the acoustics isn't right. It kind of stinks too, right? It smells like
slippery.
Anyway, watching the game, right? It's like so into it, and we have our entire house. I mean, I know why we did this, but Colin set this up. Everything in our house turns off at 11:30. The lights turn off.
Sure.
The TVs turn off. The theater turns off. So we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, the lights go out, and we're like, "What the heck?" And then the screen goes black. Sound cuts off. And I mean, I was okay with it, but the guys, scrambling to find something on their phone to watch, like where's it airing? Trying to find what's happening on the phones because it's different than a TV. Like just to grab the remote and turn the TV back on, which does take a little bit of time. Yeah. You have the projector, and it takes a minute to like fire up.
Well, it's got to power down, and then it's got to power back up, and so it's and you hear the fan going, you hear all that stuff.
And
right?
It was just mayhem at our house, trying to got to catch the last, most
final
important
moments.
Part of the game, right? Like what's going to happen? Thankfully, at our house, they were eventually able to get everything back up when we saw the end of the game. But
that initial panic,
it was like our neighbor was like, "I'm going home." Like, I'm running to my house because I got to catch this. Like, this is crazy.
Last time I'm coming over. Colin probably thought, fix that problem. Cost me a couple of minutes of the game, but now I don't have to worry about somebody else coming over.
Well, what's so fascinating to me is Colin's the one you said that sets up this timer.
Yes.
The smart home.
And and other people have that. But Colin is the football fanatic. So my, if it isn't the consequences of his own actions, he did it to himself. Because I know we've talked about it, how into these games he gets.
You guys, I mean, I've now seen the ending to this game. multiple times because that's all that airs on the TV. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it was almost a catastrophe. But I would imagine that maybe not this exact scenario has happened to other people because it's a little unique, but like really bad ways to miss the end of a game. Yeah.
Especially when you feel like you're in your safe place. You're at home.
You think
nothing could go wrong.
I couldn't believe it.
I have to listen to this other person mindless chatter, but I can still at least watch the game and focus on it. And I don't know that I've ever missed the end of a game like that because I've had it before where you're coming up to the end of a game. This is back before I was doing the Michigan broadcast, before I was even on the pregame, watching the end of a Michigan game, and one of the kids got sick.
Oh.
And so it was a matter, but I was still able to clean up while watching the game and even, you know, taking them to the shower in the bedroom. Like I could put them in there. They could get hosed off while I'm watching the game on the TV in the bedroom. Right. And so I never really missed anything. It just became somewhat like having a neighbor over that has, you know, too much to talk about. And I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just saying that would be the way I would feel about it. Yes.
Yeah, the way you're talking about this neighbor who we don't know anything about.
No, I don't know him.
Do you not like watching games with, like you are a solitude person, right?
I like watching it with my family. They understand how I like to watch a game. And I have become much more flexible in, you know, like I always have the eye on the game, but I may be helping out, you know, Lisa in the kitchen or one of the kids with, you know, whatever's going on. But yeah, the game is always on.
Yeah,
and it's acceptable to be interrupted by family, but non-family, not acceptable.
Colin would prefer, he likes to watch it with his guys. Like he'd rather just have his guys over and watch it that are into the game like he is. Like he does not enjoy when I watch the game with him because I watch the game and I get into it, but I'm also like, oh, look it, I just found a great deal on a table on Facebook Marketplace. Hey, want to check this out? Like, I do get like involved in other things while the game is going on. So
he looks at like what?
He doesn't like that.
What did you just say?
Yeah, yeah. I'm like look at this.
But you also understand like he's probably not fully listening to you either. Like you, yeah,
no,
it works
not.
Both
he's
ways.
Like, okay,
yeah.
Go.
Remember, I told you this during the game.
What?
Yeah, I mean, Kelsey will watch the Lions. She doesn't like watching a ton of football. She'll watch the Lions with me, but it's the same thing. I'm watching the game. And then when the commercials hit, like she thinks, oh, this is a time to talk. Yeah. And I go, no, I'm scrolling Twitter. I'm looking for funny stuff. I'm talking to people. I'm texting.
See, Lisa's the opposite. Lisa's really into the game and she is questioning play calls.
Oh,
She's, you know, why are you doing this? This is stupid. They're stupid. And I'm like, wait, no. I would call this. And then we start arguing about what we would call if we were the offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator, what we would do on this, you know, situation.
So you guys are like a broadcast booth.
Yes. Yes, very much. Yeah. Yeah.
From the living room couch.
Yeah.
But it is interesting because you had an interesting situation with your son. He didn't miss the game because the TV turned off.
No, he missed the game.
He missed the end of the game. Yeah.
He had a license to stay up if he wanted to stay up to watch the game. They're down at half. And so he chose at that, you know, down 23-7, Dad, I'm going to go to bed. Okay, bud. You know, we'll see you in the morning.
He's thinking,
I don't want to waste my sleep time by watching a loss.
Right.
So then last night I'm taking him to baseball practice and he looks at me and he goes, that's the best way to wake up. I'm like, what? He goes, I went to bed thinking that they were going to lose and I woke up. I checked the score, I checked the box score, and they won. It's the absolute best way to wake up, Dad.
Did he go back and watch? Did he rewatch the ending of it?
He's watched some of it. Yeah, I don't think he's going to watch the entire second half. He's seen the highlights.
Yeah.
Did you say, how did he feel going into half? Did he think there was a chance they would come back, or is he kind of resigned to it?
I think he was kind of resigned to, this is going to be a loss, yes.
You know, I don't think we would have killed him for losing that game, the Lions. I'm talking, you know, in Houston. Extra rest for the Texans. I don't think we would have killed them for losing that game.
Oh, I think you would have been killed for it.
I would have killed them for it?
No, you would have been killed for it. It would have been on you because of the whole 15-2.
And then I would have had to come in and go, we're running the table.
Yeah, but no, in terms of the Lions, no. I mean, we kind of all believe there's going to be a loss, if not two more, on the remaining schedule.
But to me, the way I felt at the half was, well, they hadn't played well. They weren't out of it. because of what we had talked about, because of, hey, Green Bay and the elements and Minnesota, they're down double digits early on the road. I just felt like, yeah, they're going to need some plays.
Yeah.
They're going to need some stops. They're going to need a couple breaks. They need to stop throwing the ball to the other team.
Yeah. I'm curious for our listeners, though. Did you turn it off? Did you lose faith? Or did you just simply resign yourself to, it's not our day, I'm going to go ahead and go to bed? What point of the game was that? And then what was your reaction in the morning when you saw that there was a magnificent comeback and you missed it?
Let us know. 248-539-9797. Phones and ticket text. How about this ticket text? Did you see this video? Delta Airline flights. There's a video going around. The final seconds of the Lions game, the flight attendant comes on and starts talking right before the field goal is kicked.
Oh, no.
The plane starts yelling at her to stop because it's going to cut out the TV, Simon Joel.
No.
Now, the video I saw, they did see the kick go up and through, and then the plane cheered. But could you imagine being in that spot?
Oh, my goodness. You're watching it. Yeah, there's nothing worse than, you know, obviously there are certain announcements that they have to make. Hey, we're starting our descent. You could, wait.
Give us 30 seconds.
Yeah, give us 30 seconds. Wait for the kick so that the screen doesn't go blank and you have to listen to...
Announcement in progress. Your reactions, 248-539-9797. Dan Campbell at 802. It's 97.1.
I've been talking about David Femenino, injury attorney, and his team for quite a while now. Just listen to some of the results that he and his team have been able to get for injured clients. $3.5 million for one, $5 million for another, $11.5 million for an individual client. You need an attorney that will fight relentlessly for you and one that is used to success. David Femenino and his team are certainly used to success. You can call and speak to David right now by calling 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
It's a great call. That's how it sounded for the rest of us. If you're just tuning in, the fiasco at Heather's house, her smart home shut down at the end of that football game.
It was the worst time. Right around 11:30, everything in our house just goes black, including the game we were watching. Yep. And it was a scramble to try to find it on the phone so that they could see what was going on before everything got powered back up.
Mm. We'll get to Dan Campbell at 8:02, Lions coach. They just keep winning. Let's get to Mike in Waterford. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good morning, Mike.
Hey, so I was watching the game like the whole first half. The mood was not very good in the house. Wife was quiet. Baby's crying. Like, I'm just not having a great time. I got to put the baby to bed at halftime. I come back after doing that. She's about 2 months old, so it takes kind of a little while. Come back in the fourth, and I'm like, oh, my God, Texans haven't scored. You know, we're starting to climb back up and, just getting the game back together. I was like, I can't believe what I'm even watching. I was so happy going to sleep, even though I was so tired.
Oh, yeah.
But it was so great.
So, Mike, no earbuds while you're putting the baby to sleep? You could still listen to the game.
I've been there.
It's time. You can't miss it.
Yeah, you know when you're holding the baby, though, and you're like, if I move, if I bend down and I go to grab those, it's over.
Right, right. Yeah, so if they're not in previously, yeah.
Yeah, that was my fault. I definitely probably should have popped them back in, but I kind of thought a little bit that, like, this maybe might be our one of two losses that we were going to get coming forward, because I'm on John's bus with the 14-3.
Okay. It's a smart bus. Yep. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
but yeah, you guys have a good one. Thank you.
You too.
Ye of little faith.
If there's nothing worse than holding a sleep, trying to get a child to sleep, knowing that you want to be watching something, you're not, and that's when they just won't go to sleep. You play the Samuel L. Jackson, YouTube video in your head time and time again, because all other nights it feels like, boom, 5 minutes, they're out. Lay them down, you're back to whatever you were doing. But when you really want to watch something, those kids will just not go to sleep.
John, you brought up your son, Jack, who made the choice.
Oh, yeah, he made the choice. Going to bed.
Halftime, going to
get
sleep.
Up Monday morning.
Got to do it. Ticket Texter says, I'm a Ravens fan. I showered and went to bed at halftime last Thursday night. I feel your son's joy waking up the next morning.
Texter says their buddy sent them a message saying, get Goff out of the game, put in Hendon Hooker. I made sure to remind him what a dumbass he was. Go Lions. That's from Quick in the Truck.
Put in Hendon Hooker like he's going to manufacture the comeback.
My three-month-old woke me up to feed, turned on the game with 3 minutes left. What a kick. Thanks, buddy, looking out for me.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Several people have said that they, quote, downgraded the screen. They went from like the 70-inch in the living room to the phone, kind of winding down for bed.
Oh, yeah, watching in bed. Yeah,
just kind of, hey, see how this goes. Maybe keep the faith alive just a little bit before going to sleep. And, John, we talked about it. There were a couple moments that really were critical in that second half. The first interception by Carlton Davis, they didn't do anything with. The second interception from Carlton Davis, they didn't do anything with.
Right.
But it stopped Houston from extending the lead. The second Carlton Davis pick was in the end zone. If it's a touchdown, it's 30-13, and I don't know if they come back. Instead, you keep it 10 points, you score a touchdown, and when they made it a three-point game, a one-possession game, we've watched enough football. We know how momentum works. We know the Lions are a good team, the better team. It was only a matter of time before they would win the game.
Yeah, the first one obviously set the tone for the second half for the defense.
Yeah.
Because the offense came back three plays later. Here's the ball back.
Yep, here you go.
But yeah, that's and after his second interception, it was two plays later, another interception. But defensively, it started the half of dominance. And they were good in the first half, but in the second half, they were unbelievably dominant. And having to deal with short fields, having to deal with sudden change, having to deal with a lot of different things, just keeping them in the game itself, while not allowing a team to score in a half, especially when they have the lead and all they're needing is a field goal here, a field goal there. They're not even, yes, they want to get in the end zone. They're trying to get in the end zone, but they're just trying to get in scoring range. To hold them scoreless in the second half, with an offense that can be, now I know Nico Collins didn't play. Mm-hmm. CJ Stroud's a good quarterback. Second year, some bumps along the way here, but they were a team that have been able to score some points. Holding them scoreless in the second half was a great, great moment.
The Texans didn't have a drive over 40 yards in the second half. So they didn't march up and down the field on the defense. The drives went interception, punt, interception, punt, 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 missed field goal.
Yeah.
I mean, and Houston couldn't run the ball. Like, that's the way you put a team away, is you run the ball, and Detroit came up big in the trenches.
Yeah, I mean, Ali McNeil, when we talk about, I was disappointed Za'Darius Smith didn't play, but guys had to step up, as they have throughout the course of this season. Now, nine games in, Ali McNeil, he was at moments dominant in that game from that defensive tackle position, whether it was creating penetration in the run game, getting after the quarterback, flushing him out. I mean, he was having himself a night.
So pressures from the interior, I think it's like since week four, he is in that like upper echelon.
Sure.
And it's crazy because I think that's right around the time where they paid him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just happens to work that way. Every time they pay one of these homegrown dudes,
They
take it to another level. Yep. And you know how rare that is in pro sports. We see this all the time where guys get paid and then the play dips a little bit and they get complacent. The Lions are hungry. These guys are taking their game to another level even after they got paid.
Well, they have the culture in the locker room, but they also have done their homework on guys that they've drafted, guys that they're developing, guys that they're letting know if you perform, you will get paid. And when you do get paid, we expect that you're going to take that play to another level. Because as soon as you sign that contract, whether you're working on a rookie deal or you're working on your second, third contract, whatever, the moment you take the field, there's going to be a brand new perception. Either you are underpaid or you are overpaid. There's never, I think he's performing exactly to his value. It just doesn't happen.
We're going to check in with Dan Campbell. I like that we can actually ask him about Za'Darius Smith this week. And he can talk about Za'Darius Smith this week. That'll be nice. We'll get into the game, all the storylines and more. The Lions 8-1, seven straight wins. Lions head coach Dan Campbell is going to join us right after the update. It's 97.1.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.